This is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle.
And
we
are
the Common Ground. So this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about immigration, specifically illegal immigration, what we want to do to see if we can find consensus and see if we can fix some of the problems. So what is your word on this, Dan?
Well, my word on this is we certainly want this country to be secure. But that being said, this is a nation that was built by immigrants. With the exception of Native Americans, everyone is descended from immigrants. Now, granted, if you're African American, there's a good chance that the immigration was less than voluntary, to say the very least, as in there's a very good chance that there's slavery in your ancestry, and we want to be respectful of that. That's a very different thing altogether. And in fact, Scots-Irish or Irish people, there's maybe an indentured servant in there somewhere. These things aren't all clean and bright. But in any case, this was a nation built by immigrants. And my slant on it is that why wouldn't we want people to come here who want to work hard and contribute their culture and build a life? It just seems to me that that makes us stronger as a nation. And as a good liberal, the whole idea of American exceptionalism has always bothered me, but one thing that I think is truly exceptional and wonderful and unique about the United States of America is our ability to absorb immigrants and add them over time to this tapestry that is the United States of America. You look at Europe, you look at the UK, they're having tremendous difficulty absorbing what is basically the empire come home to roost. North African Muslims and others, you know, and Southeast Asians. And not all of it, certainly, but part of it, I certainly think, at least from my ivory tower distance, is that these are places like, you know, France, Germany, England, that have for a very long time basically had the same ethnicity on their land. They're not used to a multicultural society, but we are. We don't maybe like to acknowledge it, but that's the nature of America, is to, whenever there's an influx of new people, we consider them other, and then over time, with some exceptions, tragic exceptions, they basically become us. And that absorption mechanism is nearly unique in history to me, and it makes us a much stronger country. And so I think, to the extent that we have a stupid immigration policy that makes it difficult for businesses to hire great workers and for people to escape from places of persecution and to build a life here, I think we need to reform that. And so the idea...
I do think we need to.
And so...
reform our immigration policy. That is... It is, yeah. I agree with almost all of what you've said. Yeah, we are a nation built on immigrants. Immigrants are a wonderful part of our society. Have strengthened us from, you know, the Vietnamese boat people. The Cubans have done a great deal in Florida and Miami and in parts of New Jersey for the economy. Have been a great influence on us. I am against illegal immigration. I am not for amnesty at all. You know, I am for, you know, I think people, Mitt Romney got a little bit of flack for this, but it is kind of true, self-deportation. I have witnessed this and the ability to do so. People will, in a lot of cases, go back and either try to re-immigrate through properly if laws are enforced. And so that's kind of my stance, is I would love to have immigrants. Personally, I think we need to get rid of the national quotas and really just vet people. The only thing the immigration office should be doing is vetting people and making sure they're not A, criminals, and B, don't have exotic diseases and things like that.
Yes, the quotas come from basically IQ.
I believe they started under Woodrow Wilson.
And they came from IQ-based racism and determinism and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And...
But they're making it so if you're, say, from Saudi Arabia, you can come here quite easily. But if you're, there's a number of countries that have a really hard time getting any kind of visas, some in South America, things of that nature. And do you know personally any illegal immigrants, Dan?
Do I personally know any people who I know are illegal immigrants? Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know of. But that doesn't mean
I have a number of friends, mostly from my mission in New Jersey, who were illegal. He didn't, came here legally. One was a great guy, but he came here across the desert at age 13 by himself, no family or anything like that. And it's become a terrible. People have been taking terrible advantage of the people that are trying to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Of the massive influx of people that are coming. I think in part because of the potential promise for amnesty, which I believe is driving up the influx of illegal immigrants. Because it is on news stations and things down in South America, in Honduras, Guatemala, their news stations are saying, hey, get up here. Because they're going to be doing amnesty soon. And so it's increasing the amount of people that are coming.
And I wish we would have an amnesty, to be honest. I think it's unconscionable to throw people out who have made a life, break up families, all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And I think that it says
something... There are certain things that I...
Go on.
Certain ways that I would go about doing these things. Large-scale deportations, I am not for. I am for enforcing the laws that we have. And there have been, basically through executive orders and through fiat, the government is making it impossible for ICE agents to do their job. They have been ordered not to issue. So basically, someone comes here and they come here illegally. We catch them. Say we know that they've committed crimes and things here in the United States. We go, like the ICE agents catch them, the immigration or the border patrol or whatever, catch them trying to cross the border. Then they take them to a facility to be processed, and they have to give them paperwork to say, hey, Honduras, for example, this person is from Honduras, we're sending them back to you. Get them a passport from that country to say, hey, this person is actually from Honduras, we're sending them to you. They are no longer allowed to make the paperwork that says that person is from Honduras. But that has been done by executive fiat. And so we have laws. Like, if we were to go about this through laws, I would love it to go through Congress. To go through, hey, personally, if it were up to me, I would take each point and split it up and say, hey, vote on this. Do you like this or no? Is this a good thing? Do we want to abolish quotas and just do a general quota? Or, change wait times or reorganize the system so that there's an actual modernized system for maintaining immigration records? Do we want to give local agencies the ability to work with ICE and with the immigration authority to catch the bad guys? I personally am fine with people coming here. Try to come through the front door, please. I want to have as many people come in through the front door as possible, as long as we can say, hey, this person has committed crimes. A lot of these people committed crimes here. There's a Border Patrol agent official that recently came out. It's per this official, it's approximately 1 in 5 has a criminal record of the people that they're catching crossing the border. About 1 in 10 have a criminal record here in the States. They've committed crimes here in the States, and Border Patrol catches them. And then it's about 1 in 10 that has committed crimes here in the States, and 1 in 10 have committed crimes in their countries and are now coming here.
Although, of course, we could turn that around and say 90% have not done so.
It's 80%, yes.
Well, you said 1 in 10, but that would mean 90% have not.
So 1 in 10 have committed crimes here, and another 1 in 10 have committed crimes in their countries.
I misunderstood you.
Of
right.
1 in 5.
Right.
So a total of 1 in 5 have committed are criminals that are crossing the border.
So what you're also saying, if we turn a set around on you, is that the vast majority of them have not done such a thing.
Yes. So the people that don't have criminal records and don't have communicable diseases that we haven't had here in a long period of time, things like that, I am totally for them being allowed to come in legal. So, I have no problem with them coming in legally. I know lots and lots of great, hardworking people, some not so hardworking, but I've met a number of people that have come through through the system. There are some interesting things. So in New Jersey, you know, I worked with a number of people that were from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister saw it on the other side. Because Ethiopia had civil wars going on and things of that nature, the government way upped their quota to more than to a large number. So large numbers of Ethiopians were able to come in, more than was the steady demand. Like, so that basically anybody from Ethiopia can come in. And they get here and they'll go on, a large number of them will go on welfare. They'll live very, very cheaply, which is actually a little bit better than that they would have been living in Ethiopia, on welfare, and send most of the money back to Ethiopia. And then in Ethiopia, there's probably of 10 people for every, you know, couple people, you know, every family here in the U.S., there's like 10 people that are living off of the welfare money they send back to Ethiopia. And my sister went in as a volunteer in a nonprofit organization to try to teach the Ethiopians how to work again, because a lot of them are living off of U.S. welfare dollars that are sent there by their families here in the States. And so they're not working. And so there's a labor shortage in lots of places in Ethiopia, because they don't have to work, because they're getting money from their relatives here in the United States.
Huh.
Because of the work that she was doing, the government didn't like it, because they get, you know, a decent amount of the cut of the money that comes through because of financial entanglements. And so they actually had to be like rushed out in the middle of the night, because local people that benefit from this didn't like what they were doing. And so they my sister basically had to flee from Ethiopia.
Talk about unintended consequences.
Yeah. You know, so these are a lot of the questions that need to be answered with an immigration problem. It's not a simple issue by any means.
Oh, of course not. You know, it's interesting, the sort of the liberal perspective on all of these executive orders, you know, and that's a frequent complaint, is, you know, that first of all, Obama has actually issued fewer executive orders than any of the previous presidents for quite some time, but then also, yes, it'd be fantastic if Congress drove this reform. Absolutely fantastic. But Congress is useless. And so, but therefore, if you want to accomplish anything resembling justice, executive orders are the only way to go. But that also means that the decisions won't be driven by representatives of the American people, but rather by interest groups within the Obama administration, which is also problematic.
I think one of the biggest obstructions is that people, this is kind of the my issue with Congress, and it's part of how Congress works and how they try to get around certain things. But so in my head, we need smaller bills, not just one giant, let's fix everything in immigration in one shot bill. Because if you do, then there's always going to be a few Democrats in red states and a few Republicans in other states or whatever that are going to disagree with a few parts of it. And if they vote on it, then their people are going to completely go against. This was part of trying to get the Affordable Care Act through. There was a 60-vote majority in the Senate, and they had, you know, and yet they still could only get, what was it? Was it the 51 votes, I think, that they ended up getting? It was 51 votes to pass it?
It was a hair-thin margin, I believe.
Yeah, and you know, there were 60 Democrats, which means a number of Democrats actually didn't vote for it because there were things that they disagreed upon or were afraid that their constituents would tar and feather them on.
A major problem for the liberals was the Blue Dog Democrats, who were basically almost Republicans and who then lost their elections to Republicans anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's... So for me, we need to stop trying to get the comprehensive immigration reform, which is basically one massive bill, which is what they're trying to do so they can shove as much down our throats as possible. Let's look at each individual section and say, okay, let's fix this part. Let's fix the quotas. Let's vote on the quotas and fix that part. Let's, you know, basically doing a piecemeal legislation that fixes it, you know. And I think you would be much more likely to be able to come to a compromise on each individual part, as opposed to trying to compromise on the whole thing and then have everybody vote on that one whole thing.
I hear that, but on the other hand, you know, I myself work within a large organization, and so one thing I'm conscious of is that if you changed individual components piecemeal without a holistic view of the whole entity, you're then going to do some damage in terms of the one hand not knowing what the other is doing.
Which we already have now.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, one, because the laws have been broken in the first place, and two, because a lot of the executive orders, and they're not necessarily executive orders that are doing this. A lot of this is just directions within, because the federal government is mostly run by the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And so the executive branch controls what they're doing. And basically, they're just saying, do not issue the things that allow you to deport people. They turned off the whole deportation system by saying you cannot issue these documents.
Although the critique on the liberal end is that Obama's administration has actually deported a record number of immigrants.
That isn't true, especially in recent times. A lot of those numbers are actually ones that have been slated for deportation, but many of them actually haven't been deported. So the numbers that he's using to say that he's deported record numbers of immigrants, they're not the actual numbers of people that were sent back to their countries.
Hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, so the Obama administration is good at this, but other administrations have been good at this as well, which is playing with the numbers. You know, they play with the numbers, and then they get the result that they want. To make it seem as if they're doing, such as the record number of deportations or the number of executive orders that have gone through, which, I believe George Bush did have more executive orders, but the executive orders that he did do were typically smaller in scale than the ones that Obama did. Basically, like giving somebody a Congressional Medal of Honor and other things can be an executive order.
Right.
Or saying, hey, we should have, a holiday or something, whereas, executive orders such as, raising the minimum wage or... I don't think it's an official executive order, but the shutting down a lot of things for deportations and stuff, those are all like the de facto amnesty. A lot of that has been done. I'm not sure if it's an executive order or if it's just through telling the department to change their rules, but things of that nature.
Anyway, I think we would both agree that I have no problem with whatever it takes to get decent immigration reform through Congress, and if that's a series of bills rather than a gigantic omnibus, that's fine with me. And I think we both agree that America was made strong by immigrants and could use plenty more of them. I don't know any illegal immigrants that I know about, but that doesn't mean I don't know any, but I have seen the spectacle of certain people that I know literally have to win the lottery, the immigration lottery, H-1B visa lottery, in order to stay in this country. And I thought, here's a person who's worked hard in school and has a job and has to win a lottery to remain in this nation. If we were a tiny nation, if we had the land mass of the Vatican City, I could say that, but we have a tremendous amount of land. We are a land of plenty.
Yeah, and this is, again, personally, I am for anybody who wants to come here legally and isn't a criminal or have diseases. Basically, anybody that wants to come here legally should be able to come here legally. That is my stance. That is what I am for. They should be able to come here legally, and we need to fix the immigration system to allow that to be the case. To do that efficiently. We did have a pretty good system for the time on Ellis Island, which just funnel everybody from the eastern side of the world or east of us and come through, and then they get screened, they go through. Some of them had to be sent back because they were criminals or had diseases. A lot of people are like, then we just, the Lady Liberty holding the torch of freedom out to the world. There were some other parts that were coming in. There were lots of disease prevention and the harbor islands where there were quarantined people with diseases and things like that. But
they also, of course, were trying to screen out political reactionaries and so-called morons and all the rest of it. So to me, that's obviously less savory stuff. They believed that they could see low IQs and things like that just by looking at a person.
Yeah, which actually is true with men, but not women. There's a study that recently came out. There is a real correlation between the IQ and the judged IQ of men, but not of women.
But even the IQ, it only measures correlate to success in high school and college, and certainly not life outcome.
No, it doesn't. And you know, that to me, your intelligence shouldn't be one of the biggest shouldn't be the biggest factor in determining whether you're allowed to come to this country or not.
To me, it shouldn't be a factor. Now,
well, I think that there are certain things, like people that get engineering degrees or come here for college, things like that, which generally would be the people that are in the upper tiers, either from their society or within the U.S. society, as far as intelligence goes. I think that there should be some kind of green card program for people that come and study here.
I certainly don't object to that.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of student visas, things of that nature that are, it's the student visa program, I think, is one thing that really needs to be fixed. Is basically anybody that gets accepted to a college can basically come here. And there are currently 58,000 immigrants that have come, that have overstayed their visa, their student visas. Of that 58,000, 6,000 have been deemed to be threats to the United States. And we don't know where they are. Oh. They just overstayed their visas and disappeared into society.
Nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was a recent stat that came out.
Well, comforting note.
So these are the lot of, we pointed out a lot of problems, and to me, I think personally, we need to get a piecemeal legislation through that fixes the different portions of it, because a comprehensive bill, I think, will have lots and lots of issues and is very unlikely to pass.
And I would say whatever works, because I would like to think that I'm a pragmatist above all.
All right.
All right.
This is Matt signing off.
This is the Common Ground signing off.